Today we are going to be looking at these two wonderful passages of Scripture where God communicates to us through the stories of the past what happens when God's Word is read publicly and explained to the people. I love to read, and I love to write. But I have to give you a little bit of a confession here. I'm not always quite sure whether the words that I write should continue on after me. So many of the things that we say, we walk away from later. And the idea of writing and chronicling and then publishing those words is daunting to me. My father wrote as well. And my father published many books. Could you advance that? For some reason, I'm not advancing correctly. And the books that my father published, many of them I wrote forewords to. I edited them for him. I read through the works before they were published. They were autobiographical in nature. They were explanatory in nature. And though he published them, I'll be frank, I didn't quite get it. I had access to my dad. And because I had access to my dad, because his story was my story, it didn't make sense why he would actually write down his story. But now my father's gone. And his story now has more meaning as a written word than it did before. Because here's the very real truth. My children don't know his story. And they don't know my story. And my grandchildren don't know his story. And they don't know my story. My problem with the writing is that so many times writing is backward looking. Could you take me forward? It is looking backward, especially when we write biographies and stories about our past, what God has brought us through. And the Bible has a difficult time in reconciling those who want to look backward too vigorously. God is constantly calling us forward, and looking back can be dangerous. All you have to do is remember Lot's wife. Looking backward when God is calling you forward is an understanding of what we recognize as nostalgia. And the nostalgia that we do is something that can be quite dangerous in our lives. Nostalgia is not about just history. Nostalgia is when we sentimentalize our past. And this is what I was constantly concerned about, and still am, in writing things down, in codifying where we've been. So frequently, remembering the past is a matter of nostalgia and not an issue of remembering history. Nostalgia elicits emotion, and oftentimes in a cheap fashion. Nostalgia secures us and solidifies us in the past, often causing us to wish it could be as it was. Nostalgia is the relationships of our high school classmates that we haven't seen since our last reunion. It is a brief conversation. It's something that continues to remind ourselves of what we were instead of prepare us for what we might become. it sends us backwards and not forwards. And therein lies the difficulty of nostalgia. The question is whether our nostalgic memory is fixing us into what we have been, or whether it is creating growth for our future. Because in life, you can have two mindsets. You can have a mindset that is preparing you to grow and to change and to be transformed into what God is calling us to be. Or you can have a mindset that is fixed in what you know and who you are. The difficulty of life is that just when you think you've got it all together, everything changes. How many different programs on a computer have you had to learn over your life? How many times have you had to change the way you do things? Does anyone else remember when bill paying was putting a stamp on an envelope and sending it in the mail? Now half of the places that accept your payments won't accept it from the mail. Everything is online. I recently had a bank problem, and I went to the bank, and I said, you know, hey, you know, I didn't get this. I didn't get my, oh, they said, we didn't, we sent it to this, and we sent it to an they sent it to an email address that no longer was active, and a telephone number that had not, that is mine anymore. And they wondered how I didn't get the information. I want something in the mail. I'm old school. I'm nostalgic. I'm lost in the 21st century. Because the world has grown, it's changed. And if you don't grow with it, you can get left back. Those things seem silly. But the truth is that if spiritually we are only looking back to what God has done, and not looking forward to what God can do, then we have a nostalgic faith, an empty faith. We have a faith that is a museum piece, not a faith that can move mountains and that can transform lives. Each time we look at the scripture today, we see that God's word was the transformative foundation for the changes that God was creating. When Nehemiah remembers and recounts the reading of Scripture from Ezra, what Nehemiah is showing us is the first public reading with a sermon that the Bible chronicles. And there's some reasons for it. The people of Israel have been away for 70 years from public worship in their holy places, in their nation. And now they are reclaiming Israelite Hebrew worship. And they're reading from their holy books publicly. And they're worshiping in their space, in their place, publicly, not hidden in a catacomb or in a shadowy place, not with their heads down for fear of being heard, like in Persia in the time of Daniel or Babylon in the time of the king Nebuchadnezzar, but they are now back home. But something changed in the interim. The people that used to read and live their lives in Hebrew are returning as those who speak Aramaic. The language has changed. Their world has changed. And the words that they used to hear don't mean the same thing that they meant. So they read in the Hebrew and they explain to the people. They clearly gave the sense so that the people understood the readings. They had to explain what the words meant for the very first time. You see, those who were close to the event, those who lived in the same culture of the events, they knew the events. And all they had to do was say, hey, remember that time when? And the memories came flooding back. The emotions of the moment came flooding back. When my father and I would talk, we remembered what God had done in our lives. But when I tell those stories to my children, I have to explain them. I have to tell them what had happened, how we lived, what we were, what was happening in the world around us. They don't understand what happened when we went from being nominally Catholic to born again in Christ. They never experienced that transformation. They don't know what it means, let alone what it meant. And now those old stories that my father has recounted in his books, they have deeper meaning than nostalgia because they tell my story. When we read the scripture, is it your story? Or is it someone else's? Do we read the scripture with a sense of nostalgia, simply recounting what has been? Or is the scripture transported and translated so that you know that God's word is your story as well? When you hear that the people have wept over the reading of scripture, what does it mean? Is it simply that they're that happy? That they're weeping for joy? Well, no. If you recognize what they were weeping about, they are told to not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Here's what was happening, folks. The people of God, in hearing the word of God, they were growing nostalgic for what was. They were grieving for what they had lost. Oftentimes when we read the word of God, We say things, and I've said it in my own mind as I'm reading. Oh, to have lived in the time where God powerfully moved. To live in a time where Jesus walked with us. Have you ever said that while you were reading the scripture? To live in a time where powerful men and women of God acted in boldness. And sometimes after saying that, all you can do is mourn. And grieve and weep. And that's when you fall into nostalgia. That's when you start thinking about what was instead of being buoyed in hope for what can be. Do not grieve over the past. Grieving over the past is simply forgetting what God is trying to tell you in the present. You see, the people of the past were no different from the people in the present. The people of the past worship the same God that you worship. The people of the past had access to the same word that you have. The people of the past were led by the same spirit that you are led. If you become depressed, you forget that. If you grieve, you mistake the meaning of the story. When we read the scripture, when we once again hear God's word, written so that we might always remember who we are and where we came from, we are once again told that God is with us, that God walks with us, that God loves us, that God died for us, that God sent for us, that God sends us into the world, that God gives us the strength to do all that the people of the past have done. When Jesus unfurls the scroll and reads that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, the people of Nazareth said, "Great scripture reading, Jesus." He's so powerful. He's so good at reading the scripture. But Jesus didn't want them to think about what he was. Jesus didn't want them to consider what Isaiah had said and written. Jesus was going to then explain to them what was coming next. "I am the anointed one. This word has been fulfilled in your presence." And the people at the end of the passage that you read said, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" They're starting to remember. They're starting to consider who he was, where he came from. And then the next passage beyond this is Jesus dealing with a rejection from the people. He says, "No one recognizes or accepts a prophet in his hometown." Because once again, the people are looking backward. What has Nazareth been? What was Joseph? What did he do for a living? Nostalgia goes backward, but one of the other things that's interesting is nostalgia goes back to a fixed moment. With nostalgia, when you go home, you're always who you were at that moment that you were there. When I go to visit Dayton, Ohio, there's a fixed moment of who I was when I was in Dayton. The people of Dayton know me from the time that I was 24, 23 years old until I was 40 years old, a moment in that time. When I go to New York State, those people know me for another fixed moment, a time when I was a youngster, a child, a teenager, a young adult. No matter where I go, they know me for a fixed moment, and nostalgia always plays like that. When you think of Michael Jordan, you don't think of Michael Jordan as a toddler. You think of Michael Jordan as an all-star basketball player. Nostalgia. But you also don't think about people as who they are called to become or who they were born to be. The fixed moments mean that they're narrowed to what they mean to you. And that's where prejudice comes into play. Because you remember what you know, and you are offended when what you know changes. Our nation, our church, our family, our lives, all come from a very fixed definition of what we expect. But the world is changing. And as the world changes, it becomes more difficult to live in that world. No prophet's accepted in his hometown. Why? Because they always remember who you were, not who you are. They remember where you grew up, not what God has called you. And God has called you something different from what you've been. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that we accept and that we preach, is not a gospel of stagnation. It is not a gospel that is something for the past. It's not something that resides and lives in yesterday. It's something that is constantly projected into our future. Listen to the passage that Jesus read and recognize that it doesn't stand still. "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Has that been fulfilled? And is it yet to be filled and fulfilled in our presence? We still preach good news to the poor. We still heal the brokenhearted. We still preach deliverance to captives. We still seek the recovering of sight of the blind. We still seek to set at liberty those that are bruised and oppressed. The work of the gospel in the church continues. And we know that the Spirit of God that was upon Jesus is still offered to the church today in the presence and in the power of the Holy Spirit that seeks to transform us. But instead of reaching for the Spirit of God that will transform us to actually accomplish the gospel, we have turned our gospel stories into nostalgic readings. What happened yesterday? My father showed me that a barber's son can become a doctor. That it didn't matter where you were born, you can be transformed into something different. Now, if I simply say that story is history, then I haven't learned the lesson of history. The scripture tells us that a fisherman was turned into the most powerful preacher, and that when Peter stood before the people on Pentecost Sunday with the power of the Holy Spirit, thousands of lives were changed. Thousands of people accepted Christ and became baptized. The church grew exponentially. If we see that nostalgically, then we will wistfully say, oh, for the days of the past where God moved in a powerful way, where the church could grow in a powerful way. And we'll see that in every aspect of our lives. Oh, for the time where First Baptist Church had powerful leaders and made a difference in the lives of people. Our nostalgia can destroy us. Or our history can propel us into the future. Instead of recognizing that God has moved mountains, and it's changed peoples, and it's transformed nations, let us recognize that the power of God transforms nations and peoples. And what does it take? It takes a people who are willing to be transformed, who are willing to be broken by the Spirit of God, who are willing to pray, who are willing to devote themselves fully, who are willing to call upon the Lord to change who they are, to become who they can be. This is not the past. This is the future. Because the same Spirit is upon us. The same Spirit is worthy to show us the way. The same Spirit is sending us to preach the gospel to the poor and deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. It didn't just happen then. It happens now. My prayer for you today is to recognize that when we read these stories of God's inbreaking and movement in the past, that we will make them our story. Not simply reflect on what it meant, but to translate the story into 21st century Toledo, Ohio, and to understand what it means for you and for me. The world is in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world needs to see a living God, not a nostalgic museum piece. The world needs new leadership, new hope, new power, and a living God moving in a living, animated, active, spirit-filled people can still change the world. This is not just what was. It is what can be. And as we prepare to hear the news about our church for our annual meeting, let us never forget that where God has brought us, God can move us again. What God has built, God can build again. Things don't always look good, but God is the God of resurrection, the God of rebuilding, the God who gathers his exiles and places them back in the land, the God who sends the Spirit and the Son to transform a seemingly dead people with new life, new vibrancy, and new hope. This is the day that the Lord has made. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's pray. Loving God, as we prepare for the future, help us to stand on the shoulders of prophets and priests. Help us to rely on your Spirit and upon your Son, who transforms our world even in our presence, who changes our lives, and through the power of the Word shares with us the power of what can be in the Word of God in Jesus Christ. Bless us by reminding us of the past, enlivening us in the present, and sending us to your future. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we ask it all. And the people of God said, Amen.